Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. In May, the Missouri Department of Agriculture revoked the St. Louis County Pet Adoption Center's state license after its inspection found sanitation and safety violations at the shelter. Then, last week, after a month of work by staff and volunteers to improve conditions at the facility, the county shelter finally received its license to operate. We'll hear perspectives about how things are going and hopes for the St. Louis County Pet Adoption Center from current employees or from current volunteers who walk dogs at the shelter during this next conversation. But to start things off, we have Dr. Kanika Cunningham, Director of the St. Louis County Department of Public Health. Dr. Cunningham, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So passing inspection, it took a lot of work. What is it that you attribute that to?
Yeah, it was definitely a team effort. It was the current leadership that's in place and our wonderful volunteers. I think the Parvo incident that took place, and then the Missouri Department of Ag, you know, not giving us our license, it actually created a moment where all of us wanted to bond and come together and to support the animals and to make sure that we get our license. And so in a matter of 5 weeks, it was significant amount of teamwork with internal teams, volunteers. Everyone truly came together to make sure we were successful.
Mm-hmm. What was it specifically that caused things to get to the point where the shelter was not meeting those minimum requirements set by the state?
Yeah, so with the Missouri Department of Agriculture, you get three chances to pass once you submit your application. And so the application was submitted in early February, and so they came out. We did not pass on the first time. They then returned again in March, and unfortunately, we didn't pass again. Now, I will say that items that were found on the first inspection were corrected by the time the second inspection came, but then they identified new issues. Between the second and the third, that's when we had the parvovirus outbreak, and the third inspection actually highlighted new issues that were directly a result of us being on isolation and quarantine for about 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a matter of unfortunate timing with the outbreak that there no way we would have passed the third time around given we had the outbreak.
Mm-hmm. Now, with that outbreak, because it was very much part of the news, what people were talking about, and we spoke in February, and that was just after the APA handed shelter operations back to the county, and that parvovirus outbreak, it led to the decision to euthanize 19 affected dogs. How did you come to that decision?
Yeah, so it wasn't my decision. You know, that's currently, you know, with the subpoena process and everything that's, you know, taking place internally with St. Louis County. But it was not my decision. But I will say that once I heard about it and when I was able to review the cases, I was definitely disappointed that, you know, we did not follow best practices. It was significant breakdown at our intake with our vaccination protocols, with our cleaning protocols. And when we announced that, it was all in a matter of trying to be transparent. I think some things that I heard before was that the, you know, previous shelter leaders or Department of Public Health, we were not forthcoming with letting people know what was taking place. And so, you know, we experienced the outbreak, we experienced an unfortunate event, and, you know, I wanted to be transparent about what took place because I'm trying to earn the trust of our volunteers, our staff, and the public. And that was just an unfortunate event that happened. It did now is making us take a closer look at our internal processes, protocols, our SOPs, just to make sure, you know, this doesn't occur again.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that if another outbreak were to happen, that you'd be equipped?
You know, honestly, we would not be equipped as far as having the infrastructure in place, but I think we'll be equipped as far as knowledge, what we'll need to do to first off prevent an outbreak from happening. But if it occurred again, you know, we have the experience, so we'll know what to do to quickly make sure we don't have to euthanize any dogs and making sure that we get appropriate treatment to all the dogs in our care. When I speak to the infrastructure issues, we still do not have proper isolation and quarantine rooms, which is critical whenever you're managing any type of disease outbreak in a shelter. We just don't have the space for it. We have capacity issues. And so if right now, if we bring in a dog that has parvovirus, there's no way to automatically determine right at intake that the dog may be, if they're not displaying any symptoms. So if that dog is moved to general population again, you know, it may not be as severe outbreak, but we may see a few more cases. But we definitely learn from this outbreak as far as the medical management. But I will be concerned that we just don't have the infrastructure to support an outbreak of that matter again.
Mm-hmm. Longtime volunteer Dale Shooter says she's frustrated with how the St. Louis County Council has handled their investigation into the county's animal shelter.
Was there a parvo outbreak? Yes, there was. Was it handled incorrectly? I don't know. I don't have those answers, but it happened. They reacted. They have learned from it, and it's time to move on. We are heartbroken about the animals that we lost during the parvo outbreak. Those are animals that everyone knew and loved. And sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, but what they're doing is not helping these animals to come back. What we need is help that this doesn't happen in the future. And that means more money so those medicines are on hand. Everything that the council is hinting at that went wrong has to do with being properly budgeted and having to be able to give the care at the level they want. Then they need to give the money so that can happen.
Dr. Cunningham, would the St. Louis County Council be able to issue the funding for that infrastructure that you mentioned earlier that would be necessary to deal with the potential future outbreak?
Yes, that is within their legislative right to approve the additional money to fund and support the shelter. I do think historically we have underfunded the shelter. We are responsible for all of St. Louis County caring for the animals, and sometimes we do pick up lost dogs that have mingled from St. Louis City. Our intake numbers have tripled since before the pandemic, and we just don't have proper spacing to provide the care. So I do agree with Dale's comment that one way that the St. Louis County Council can support us is by passing the legislation before them to give us additional money to be able to get proper medications, to make improvements and repairs that we need to, or even explore the idea of a new building, given that our intake is so high. I will say the county council, they're also in a position to help us update our ordinances. As we propose and put forth ordinances based off of evidence-based research, you know, we need their support and their approval to help us move forward with this so that we can continue to serve St. Louis County and to also serve our pets. I think one thing, the collective, everyone that's over there, we are centering the animals in our care. And I think it's a different philosophy. It's a culture shift, but everything is focused on caring for the animals that come into our shelter, but then also caring for the communities, supporting pet owners, ensuring that we can minimize the numbers, the pets that come into our shelter in the first place. And so it's going to take a community effort, and I truly need the county council support to be able to provide the services and the excellent care that we need to provide.
Mm-hmm. Now, the situation at this point is one wherein we're looking at leadership and leadership changes that have happened over time. And in May, Malik Johnson was hired as the new division director for St. Louis County Animal Care and Control. Mm-hmm. Longtime shelter volunteer Dale Shooter says she's optimistic about his hiring.
I see in him a long-term perspective in terms of it's not just the day-to-day operations, but also where are we going to be next year? Where are we going to be in 5 years? As opposed to just always reacting to the situation, you know, we got to fix this, we got to fix that. It's beyond that. It's like a strategic viewpoint on how to operate the shelter into the future.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, completely agree. I think it's unfortunate, you know, people, you know, they say that I didn't hire anyone with shelter experience. And my counter argument is, look what took place when I did have people in place with shelter experience. You know, mm-hmm. we can identify the 2019 audit that highlighted significant issues. We can identify even just this process, this transition from APA back to us. And, you know, when Malik Johnson started, the application was resubmitted 1 week later, and in a matter of 4.5 weeks, 5 weeks, we were successful the first time around. And that's strong leadership. That's bringing people together as a team, that's having one goal in mind, and that is supporting the shelter. And I see great qualities and transferable skills in him. And Malik, he's doing a really, really wonderful job. And he is diving right in, learning the, you know, cleaning kennels and doing the dishes. And, you know, he's operating and working right along staff and volunteers in addition to leading the animal shelter.
Mm-hmm. That the confluence of volunteers and animals. Volunteer Dale Shooter told us that she's heartened to see the amount of open communication between leadership, management, caregivers, and volunteers at the shelter today.
You know, we're the ones walking the dogs and interacting with them a lot. You know, besides the actual hands-on animal caregivers, volunteers are the ones who are with those both dogs and cats the most in that shelter. So actually asking us for our opinion on dogs' behavior and do we think this dog would do well in this situation, things like that, that we were never, it was pretty much come in, walk a dog, leave, don't say anything. You know, we don't want to hear from you. We just want your free help. And it doesn't feel that way anymore. It really feels like a team, that everyone, staff, management, volunteers are all working together for a common goal, which is the best outcome possible for these animals that enter the shelter.
So what this longtime shelter volunteer is saying about improved communication, I mean, does this just go back to the transparency that you were talking about and maybe what has come out of collectively facing a crisis, i.e., potentially not getting that operating license back?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will say I've learned a lot from volunteers, and they have the experience, and she's right. They are the ones that's walking the dogs, that's interacting with the dogs, providing behavioral enrichment. Sometimes our staff, they're out on the road. So listening to volunteers is critical to a successful program. But I do want to take a moment and recognize some of the volunteers who actually contacted me during the wintertime. We were going through the transition process, and it was the volunteers that actually got my attention, and they were sharing their perspective, their point of view, and something just wasn't clicking. I'm like, I think I need to do a little more investigating into the history of the shelter and what's taking place. And it was the volunteers that got my attention, and they were absolutely right with all of their concerns, the complaints, the things that work well. And so I have a really, really high respect for volunteers because they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And we as leaders and even, you know, county employees, we deserve to listen. We need to listen to them because they absolutely know what they're doing. And so far, a lot of the changes that we've made has come from volunteers advocating or getting our attention, sending us emails. Our volunteers truly care about the success of the shelter, but then also about the, how she said, the goal is to care for the pets that come into the shelter.
Is there a very specific example, Dr. Cunningham, of something that you have learned from a volunteer that led to a concrete change?
Yeah, you know, it was actually Dale who mentioned this. The feeding schedule is so important. And we were running into problems with, you know, we had staff that was, you know, trying to develop their own feeding schedules. And, you know, what happened is the dogs will, you know, do their business in the kennels and they just finished walking. So we were actually making the work harder for us because we had to make sure we keep the kennels clean. And one simple change was change the feeding schedule from 7 to 2 p.m. And initially, I think our last feed was at 5 or 6 o'clock. And what was taking place was we had dogs, you know, in kennels, they'll end up, you know, taking care of their business later on. Well, by that time, a lot of volunteers were gone. We didn't have a lot of staff in the building, but making a simple change in the feeding schedule for all of the animals there have significantly helped us with keeping the kennels cleaner, being able to do the spot cleaning, getting dogs out so that they will be able to, you know, enjoy the, you know, the grassy area or walking over to the park. So that simple change in the feeding schedule, it significantly helped our staff and also helped us, you know, maintain the cleanliness at the shelter.
Mm-hmm. As we're talking about what is happening at the shelter, I mean, the goal is to get animals adopted. And Dale mentioned a foster program. What other programs are you and Malik Johnson implementing now at the St. Louis County Pet Adoption Center?
Right. And I do want to highlight the foster program is the first ever foster program in St. Louis County. I think that is huge just because a lot of shelters across the nation, all of us are experiencing capacity issues and problems with getting dogs into loving homes or picking up lost dogs. And so implementing a foster program in addition to our adoption program is one way we can really focus on outcomes to get dogs out of the shelters and into loving homes. Other things we know, there's issues with spay and neuter in certain communities in which we, you know, pick up a lot of our dogs, which is specifically in North County. So we hope to offer community spay neuter clinics to help meet that need. And microchipping, a lot of people don't understand or, you know, can even afford to get their pet microchipped. And so we're also hosting an event actually this Saturday at North County Rec Complex. Mm-hmm. In which 5 Acres and Dale's organization Save, in which we are covering 100 microchips for animals or pet owners who come up to us to see us this Saturday. So I truly want to meet the community need. And so spay neuter clinics, microchip clinics, those are just a few things that we're hoping to roll out in the next 30 to 40 days.
Mm-hmm. So community partners, community relationships, you know, working at the shelter, whether you're a volunteer or staff, it is very tough work. And as we've discussed in past shows, compassion fatigue, it is a very real thing. So folks are handling overcrowding, there's loud noises, there are the messes that you talked about, and taking in animals that have been abused or neglected. And St. Louis County Pet Adoption Center volunteer Kate Tuttle says it feels like an uphill battle. And to this point about community, it's one that she would like to see the broader community help out with.
To me, it's not a county shelter issue. It's a community issue. And there are a lot of changes that need to be made in addressing unaltered animals, you know, animals that aren't spayed and neutered, irresponsible pet owners, backyard breeders. There's so many factors like that that need to be addressed at a larger level. But I think a county shelter, especially the community, needs to be involved in that and needs to be supportive of it and get involved how they can. So if they're not able to foster or adopt, speaking positively, you know, and helping to change that narrative so that people that can foster and adopt do go to the county shelter to do that. Sharing the posts and the content. The volunteers do an amazing job of creating content about all of these animals. If you're on social media, you certainly can share that content and help to find forever homes for these amazing animals.
Now, Kate Tuttle added that despite the challenges, certain moments make the work really worth it, like her experience with a dog named Kronk, who would not come out of his kennel to be walked to go outside. Kate and other volunteers spent time sitting with him, talking with him, giving him treats. And then a couple weeks later, he was going to adoption events and interacting with the public.
That, to me, just is a good example of why we do what we do. Here's a dog that was completely shut down, didn't want to interact with anybody, didn't even want to come out to go to the bathroom. And you're talking about dogs that are in kennels for, you know, 23 and a half hours a day. And then here we were, you know, a week, 10 days later, and he is an amazing dog that interacts with everybody, that comes out of his kennel easily, walks great on a leash, and was able to come to an event. And so that to me just is why we do what we do, right? It would be easy for a lot of people to give up on some of these animals that are in the shelter. But what I have seen from the volunteers 100%, from the staff 100%, the leadership. Like, we're not going to do that. We're going to do everything that we can to find these animals loving homes.
Dr. Cunningham, how do you see your position as leader of the county health department? We're talking about, yes, we're talking about domesticated animals, but human animals too, right? Creating an environment at the shelter that fosters these moments of connection. I mean, where do you see yourself, you know, in doing that?
Yeah, I would say this. I think anyone should either come over and take a tour of the shelter or even sign up to volunteer. It is something amazing that, you know, people look at, oh, just walking a dog. And no, it's not. You know, you play with the dogs, you play with the cats. It actually helps you as an individual. Like, there's something about just cuddling with a kitten that can help your own mental health. And so I think understanding and don't look at the animals in our care is just objects. I think that's what some people are doing. They feel like that, you know, we're public health and, you know, you need dog catchers out there. And when they come into the, it's the negative, the, you know, previous way that public health managed animal care, animal welfare, and it's just not right. And so I think now with these volunteers, what they're saying is it's fulfilling. It's fulfilling work. Some things are hard. They're difficult. Some of our volunteers, they take the dogs out on play dates. So they'll, you know, sign them out and take them to the park or to spend the day with them. And you can actually see the difference in the dogs. And people may not even believe it, but you truly can. And doing things like that is, it has a significant impact on the behavior of the dogs that come into our shelter. Mm-hmm. And I think I welcome any and all of that. And I agree with Kate that we need to engage our community. It's not just a public health thing. It's not just only volunteers and staff, but truly providing animal welfare, animal support services. It requires the support of the community, because we also need people, how she was hinting on, with responsible pet ownership, or how can we ensure that your pet does not get out, how to properly walk your dog or use a leash or just even get access to veterinarian care. So we hope to do a lot of community engagement in areas that we have high intake, which is North County. But I'm really, I've said this before, but it's something unique and special about the human-animal bond, and that is what I hope to elevate and what I hope to lift, so everyone gets to experience that.
Mm-hmm. In terms of human resources, what are current staffing needs looking like now, and do you have an adequate number of volunteers?
So we are expanding our volunteer program. I think we're up to, 98 as of last week. We have some volunteers who come on a regular basis, some that, you know, can come in on the weekends. We're definitely flexible with our volunteer schedule. We are struggling with staffing. It's across the board. It's not just our shelter. It's stressful, especially when dogs are euthanized, and a lot of our volunteers and staff get connected to some of the dogs in our care. I made a commitment to provide humane euthanasia, but I do want to put a program in place in which we can address the grief. We can address, you know, the those down moments at the shelter. And we don't have that right now, but it is high turnover. But we're going through a culture shift. I think anytime you raise the expectations, or anytime that you redefine the mission or set a new positive direction, you're going to see that. But I am hopeful that we are recruiting the next line of employees who are just as passionate as our volunteers. And I'm also confident that the current management that we have in place, they're right in line with this new mission and vision in providing and centering the animals in our care.
Mm-hmm. And in a sentence, what would you say is this moment? How would you characterize this moment for the St. Louis County Animal Care, the animal, you know, the pet adoption center, mm-hmm. and for animal care and control?
I would say hopeful. I'm hopeful that we are going to do the right thing. I'm hopeful that the community, they are trusting us, the volunteers. So I'm definitely hopeful that we're going to turn this around and we're going to do this the right way this time.
Dr. Kanika Cunningham is the director of the St. Louis County Department of Public Health. Dr. Cunningham, thank you for joining us today.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr. Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.